And when the door opened, it was just one shivling there, which is so beautiful. And you could only connect with him directly. That's how it was. So that is one temple that we can never forget. And interestingly, that was another temple where we performed the Abhishekam ourselves.
Hey guys, welcome to yet another episode of Power of Passion. I am Nivedita, the host of this show. In this show, each week I interview the inspiring personalities who follow their passion in order to help you to understand your inner potential and how to live your passion with a purpose and lead a meaningful life. Today, I'm super excited to have the guest of our show, who is Shivraman. He works as an AVP at Tata Consultancy Services, and he has over 19 plus years of experience in ITIS industry. His passion is exploring Shiva temples, and he has done 210 weeks of continuous Shiva temple visits over a span of 4 years, covering one temple every weekend. So without further ado, let's welcome Shiv into our show and let's get started. Hello, Shiv. Welcome to my show. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Okay. So Shiv, you are the AVP at TCS and you've been there for 19 plus years. And then how did you get into this path of exploring temples? That's been your passion, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. First of all, to let you know, I'm not basically from Chennai. So I'm basically from Bangalore, who probably lived through all my life in Bangalore. And of course, I was devoted to kind of visiting temples once in a while, but it was not as much as what I'm doing right now. And once I moved to Chennai in 2015, and one of the Shivratris is when I actually reached out to my colleagues saying that everybody talks about the local Kapalishwara temple, but are there any other Shiva temples around? So can we probably go and visit one this Shivratri? It was around Shivratri time at that year. And then these guys said, okay, and there's close by near Madambakam where we stay, there is a temple in called Tenugurishwarar. We also came in contact with another group, and that group is called Shivamayam. And I think currently they are doing around 345 weeks or something. So without a break, every week, picking up a new Shiva temple and visiting is what they are doing. So we met them in another Shivratri day. And then they said, why don't you guys visit temples? We have a list of them if you want to kind of take it up and visit. We told many of them couldn't do it, but if you're interested, you could do it. And that's how it just started. We never knew that we are going to continue it like this. And today, again, being a Saturday, today we complete 210 weeks of continuous Shiva temple visits. So,
wow, very nice.
The only small break we had was during this corona time because the temples were all closed. So we couldn't do that. Otherwise, we have been continuously doing it.
So is there any particular reason why you actually go for only Shiva temples?
That's an interesting question. Actually, when we started off, you wouldn't believe the excitement was so much that let's say we go to a particular area and we have kind of understood that we are going to this particular Shiva temple. We would also try and figure out which are the other closer famous temples around and we used to visit it. But to be very honest, the amount of attraction and the vibration that you get in a Shiva temple is something that you would never experience it in another temple. I don't know why. Maybe it's my personal thing, but that is something the group, I mean, we could go in a group of four or five of us together. All of us felt that. Mm-hmm. So then we started, okay, fine, let's just do Shiva temples alone. And that's how it just started, that we started going only to Shiva temple. Even if there is a temple which is not completely huge, well-built and looks massive, nothing. It's just a makeshift arrangement of a thatched roof Shiva temple where you have a small Shivalinga there. You go there, the vibration that you get is unbelievable. So that's how it started doing only Shiva temples as we move forward. And I think it is his wish, so he's kind of attracted us, so we are just doing it.
Very nice to hear that. I'll come to that later. But then how do you actually plan for it? Like, how do you decide which temple to go? Do you have any plan in mind every week?
Yes, we do that. So so the whole week, the office goes on, and the moment we are touching Thursday, we kind of start planning because we visit only on Saturday mornings. And it is only early in the morning. So we don't want to kind of go before the temple. I mean, let's say when the crowd starts coming in, we don't want to kind of visit the temple at that time. So what we do, we plan it on Thursday. Okay. So some of them are, of course, on the internet. So we find out close by areas, which are the temples that are there. And most of it, we try and figure out those temples that have a history behind. Those temples that are actually maybe 1,000 years, 1,200 years. It has been built by some kings. There is some amount of exclusivity to that temple. People go there for a particular reason, whatever that could be. Even though we are not able to kind of get all the details in the internet, the moment we get a telephone number or some contact to that particular place, once we call the person, we figure out what time they open and then ensure that we go right time and we tell them we are actually coming in at this particular time and we leave. I think the as early as what we have left is 3:30 a.m. in the morning because it was a far off temple. So that is how early we kind of leave. It can go up to 6 a.m. max. So between anywhere between 3:30 to 6 a.m. is the timing that we all assemble and then we leave, depending on the temple distance and when it is open and other things.
Okay. So what do you do after going there?
We kind of read about that place. If we don't get to read about that place, once we go there, we ask the temple priest to kind of give us more information about it. So he will probably show some of the things. There will be some architecture on the pillars or probably on the ceilings. You will have things which actually signify something of that particular temple. So what we do is we go around looking at all those things. We see all the sannidhis there. And after that, we go sit in front of the Lord. Usually it is the first darshan we take. So usually it will be us and only the priest, and he'll be opening the door. And that's when we have the vision of the Lord, which is amazing. So we go around, click some pictures because we want to kind of post it to others who can actually have an opportunity to visit it. So we take some notes around it and we sit together. All of us together chant 108 Om Namah Shivaya together. And then beautiful darshan of the Abhishekam and everything. Finish that and straightforward head home. So that's how we have been doing it so far. And on special occasions, which started like 25th week, 50th week, 100th week. So we started like these kind of milestones that we started achieving. We started performing Abhishekams ourselves. So we used to buy all the things for Abhishekam, take everything, go there, sit together, prepare things, and then perform the Abhishekam and back. Few temples, of course, I have had the opportunity of performing the Abhishekam ourselves.
Generally, people don't get that opportunity.
And it did not happen at the initial weeks for sure. So I think it is basically, we have been blessed to do that. It happened only after we completed like 50, 60 weeks of visiting temples is when it all started happening. And that is unbelievable, actually. Some places, there's no priest. And then they say, okay, sir, you please take the keys. You perform it yourself. It's an experience that you should really have. Only then you will understand what I mean.
Yes, yes. And like you were talking some time back about that experience, like in Shiv temples, you find that kind of good vibration. So what was the most powerful temple that you have been so far, which gave you that kind of an experience?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing because every temple that we have visited has actually been unique in its own way. So it includes even Kapalishwara temple that we have visited from Mylapore, or it could be any other temples around. But if I really have to recall a couple of temples, there is one temple in a village called Tayur, or it's called Anandishwara temple. Absolutely, you wouldn't find it as a temple at all because it's just one structure, which is just the Garbhagraham alone. And then you have the Shivling. And right around, there is nothing. It's completely open space. I think there must have been a big temple once upon a time because there are evidence to that where there are carved pillars and there are scriptures on the pillars. So there are artifacts of those kinds that you can see. Other than that, there is nothing. So, and when the door opened, it was just one Shivling there, which is so beautiful. And you could connect with him directly. That's how it was. So that is one temple that we can never forget. And interestingly, that was another temple where we performed the Abhishekam ourselves. Famous temples in bigger, larger temples, if there has been any kind of experience, which has been recently, I think this is in Kumbakonam. And I went to this Ayyarappan temple. Is a very famous temple. Most of the Shaivites who actually are ardent devotees of Shiva will know what is Ayyarappan's temple all about. So we went in the evening and it was exactly at around 4:15 that we stepped in. it is Corona time, everywhere it was locked and they were not allowing us everywhere. And then just in the front, the curtain is put. We're just standing there. The moment we went, the curtain moved and there was an aarti. And that was actually so blissful that literally I had tears in my eyes looking at it. I don't know, something happened to me there. I was just standing there for a while kind of completely forgetting who is around me. So that is the kind of experience. So there are, of course, some good temples like that where you do get the vibration.
Okay. You remember the names of the deities and the temple names also?
I'm sure I don't remember all of them, but there are few which kind of left an impression in you. So, for example, if I have to take a very old, devastated temple, literally in devastation it is, it is called Vimmeshwarar. So Vimmeshwarar apparently in Tamil stand for Vinmeen Ishwarar, which is actually, Vinmeengal is basically satellites in the universe. So this particular Ishwarar is for that kind of a thing. So there, that temple is, again, if you probably, even now you Google it in Padappai Vimmeshwarar, you will see a structure which is almost falling apart. But the interesting thing is, the moment we went there, it was early morning, sunrise time, 6:15, 6:30, sun rises, and the door opens, immediately the sun directly falls on the Lord. Another one, if I have to kind of relate, is Virindhitishwarar. So this temple is where Lord Shiva fed Sundarar, one of the Shaivite poets. So he fed him there. So Virindhitishwarar, so it's called Virindhitishwarar. So the thing we understood only later, whoever goes to that temple never returns back without eating anything. That particular day, apparently, we finished all the darshan and we were in a hurry to move out. We started walking almost to the gate. And then from nowhere, one lady just screamed at the backside, "Sir, where are you going? Please come." And then a handful of hot, hot pongal was served to us. So we took care of our breakfast need that day. So those kind of memories of few temples are there where you will never forget the names.
That's very interesting. Because it's difficult to remember the names, right? When you visit so many temples. Okay.
Correct. So we started anyway collecting all the data in my Facebook. So I actually end up putting these details about the temple, about the priest, numbers, people if they want to contact. So we start actually started collecting that data. It didn't happen immediately, but after a few weeks, we thought, I think we are getting enough information and we shouldn't lose this. So we started collecting this history of the temple, what it is famous for and all those things, and started putting it.
Okay, you can share that later.
Yes.
So how much do you think your life has changed after you started going to the temples every week?
Actually, it has changed a lot. It's just not for me, but it is also for my friends who have been visiting temple along with me. Some of these guys literally have changed their habits. The way they actually are today in this world has completely changed. The way they actually receive things from the world is completely changed. The outlook is changed. So I can see that they've become more mature in some sense. Mm-hmm. And they are able to kind of look at the life in a different perspective. Mm. For me, I think it has become more of, what do you say? I mean, anything happens for a good. That is the kind of mindset that I have gotten into. And it's take life as it comes rather than you expecting something. The Lord knows what you need. So
absolutely.
Acceptance kind of increased a lot in all the four of us.
Very nice to hear that.
We know for sure that we don't kind of get bogged down about things that happens. Let's say something goes wrong in the office, something goes wrong in the family. So things that actually impact people, those things actually have started impacting us less. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, okay. I'm very happy with whatever you said, how much of changes it has brought in your life and your friend's life. It's very nice to hear that. Okay, so according to you, what is a major change that needs to be brought about in Indian Hindu temples?
There is a huge number of things I can say. I don't know how many of you all would know, people who are listening or people who visit temples, how many of them are aware of this fact, I'm not sure. But nevertheless, in India, this entire thing of the temple management and the temple maintenance is all in the hands of government. So that we all know that it is actually in the hands of government, and there is a body to govern it called the HRNC, Hindu Endowment, and all those things. But apparently what I have personally experienced, and this has happened for me, for our own Kuladevam temple, where I actually took up the construction of the temple and did the Kumbhabhishekam and everything. From there to the temples which I visit, and what the priests have shared and what people around in the villages have shared, I've understood something, that some of these temples' value is something that none of us are really realizing it.
Mm.
The history is so much. The people who have built the temples, the kings who have built the temples, have built it for a reason. And we talk about so many architectural marvels and other things outside the world. But if you actually look into our own Indian temples, the kind of marvel you see in the architecture is phenomenal. So that is something that we have to revive.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the endowment that is there for the temples, I don't know if they're really doing it. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. There are temples where the priests don't even get their salaries. They're supposed to be getting their salaries from the government, which is not a big salary. Hardly they get around 2,500 or 3,000 rupees per month, which is also not given to them on a regular basis. Very clearly, during this pandemic situation, when the temples were closed, even normal days itself, they don't get their salary. During this pandemic time, temples were closed. Devotees were not visiting, so they were not even getting money from the devotees, which at least in the aarti plate, people would actually put some money, which they were getting it, which is also completely stopped during this time. So that is when we realized that there is a whole lot of things that needs to be done in regards to actually uplifting some of these temples, ensuring the priests who are actually having their livelihood with these particular temples, attached to these temples, and the earnings that they get from that. It's not that they really make big money. It's only probably in huge temples, which are famous temples. Let's say Kamalishwara temple and bigger temples like Marandeshwara temple. They may be making some money. I'm not sure. But nevertheless, there are so many temples which are actually huge and historical importance, where the priests don't even get paid. They don't even have funds to buy basic oil to light a lamp. So that is the condition that we see in temples that at least we have visited.
Mm-hmm.
The phenomenon is changing now. People are recognizing this, and slowly it's coming. But hopefully there should be a big change in this particular space, so that all the temples actually get to the glory of what they were in those years.
Yeah. So you all as a group, how do you help them?
I ended up actually connecting myself with a couple of trusts who actually are into providing funds for various these kind of activities. And along with my friends who probably feel that they can actually pitch in, let's say, 1,000 rupees or 2,000 rupees a month.
Mm.
We kind of got this together. And then a couple of priests, we started helping them with getting them their monthly salary. There are events, for example, there was a priest whose son's school fees was supposed to be paid and books to be bought.
Mm.
Messaged us, and then we kind of got the request from him, and we ensured that we were able to do that.
Okay.
There was another person whom I remember the only way of earning for him was he apparently happens to be an electrician in a school, and the school is closed during the pandemic, and then he has no other way other than the temple, and nobody comes to that temple because it is in a remote village. This is another temple that I'll never forget. It is actually called Vaidithunai Paneeswarar in Athur village in Chengalpet. So I remember that because it's a huge Shivalingam. First of all, the image stays in your mind. And this person, his name is Sendil, and he apparently is an electrician in a school. And then early morning, he does the Shiva Puja and whatever it is, and then goes off. But what I found is during these pandemic time, there's absolutely no way for him for earning. But the village is something that actually is quite huge and nice and lush green and everything. That's when I really thought, what if we probably try and support this person by getting him a cow? So I'm also trying to do some bit of Gosam Rakshanam through another trust. So this trust actually goes around saving cows which have been taken to the slaughterhouses. So they literally buy those cows and ensure they put it in some goshalas so that they can be taken care of. Now these cows are actually brought, and then if they are milking cows, that's when I made a request saying that why not we give this person a cow and a calf, so that he takes care of the cow and a calf, and he uses the milk for one, of course, to kind of do whatever his abhishekam is, and also he sells the milk and makes some money.
Fantastic.
the cow and calf both is taken care of. At the same time, he also makes some bit of money out of this. This arrangement is something that we really thought would work, and apparently it did work. And not only one, so we ended up giving two cows now. So he's awesome. Taking care of it. That every week he sends a message and sends a video of the cow grazing in the lush green field, saying that Ayya Paringo, this is how the cow is, and they are fine and hale and healthy. And I started even supporting them on a monthly basis, giving some money towards feeding the cow if at all he needs to. So these kind of things actually makes some change in somebody's life, and especially those that are in need.
Absolutely.
But God knows where it will go. But it is just a beginning, I hope it is.
It's very good what you're doing, and you are really blessed, I would say, to even do these good things. So what if the listeners also want to follow your footsteps? They also want to donate or do something for the Gosamrakshanam. How can they do? Is there any website or link where people can contribute or donate for this good cause?
I actually have the trust details with me, so people can reach out to me via my Facebook link. For those who are interested in temples, we have created this Shivanadiyar blog is there. I can actually share the link with you.
Yes.
Trust is something that we can actually give the details if they call me. You can actually even mention my telephone number if people want to reach out to me. I can surely do that. So there are so many of them who have been interested. And when I even visited the U.S., there was a colleague of mine in the U.S. who kind of heard about this Gosamrakshanam thing. His son, who is probably around 8-9 years old, influenced him, saying that I think we should do something, Papa. And then you won't believe, every month he sends $100 towards this particular Gosamrakshanam.
Wow, awesome.
This is something that he ever thought. He said, my son actually asked me to do it. And then he feels the vegan story that is actually being spread across in the US and other things. He's really gotten influenced to it. And then with that, he ended up meeting me, and then this happened. So like that, I have a group of individuals who are contributing on a monthly basis towards this Gosamrakshanam. And at the same time, this is also helping people who are in need of some hold of doing some livelihood.
Correct.
The only thing, we take an agreement with them saying that you just have to take care of the cow. You're not supposed to sell it. That's about it. We don't take any money from them. The cow is with them. The calf is with them. They take care of it. They milk it. And they make a livelihood.
It's a big difference actually in their life.
Yes, because buying a cow, they have to kind of spend around 35,000 to 40,000, which is something that they are not doing right now.
Correct, yeah. So how can the listeners connect to you? Please share us the details.
Yeah, sure. So my Facebook link you can use is facebook.com/ShivramanG1 is my Facebook ID. And I can give you my telephone number if that is okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, my telephone number is 98451-02016.
Okay.
And then the blog that we have is shivanadiyargal.blogspot.com.
Great.
Where you have all the temples that we have visited so far, with the details being given, with the photographs being updated.
Awesome. I will be sharing this in the podcast also. Okay, all the social media handles will be shared. Okay, so it's very nice how passionately you've been doing this for about 210 weeks, as you said, and you still remember all the temples' names and how much it has touched you and how much of difference it has made in your life, as well as how much of difference you are making to others' lives by contributing in many ways. So how do you think, if people want to follow visiting temples as a passion, or what is your advice to people who want to follow their passion?
Let me talk about visiting temples as a point wherein people, if they are really interested to start visiting temples, I think there is a whole lot of things around in the internet right now. So there are blogs that are available. There are actually inputs that are given on some of the lost temples. There's an interesting link in Facebook that I've come across called the Lost Temples. What really helps in these kind of passions is the dedication.
Absolutely.
If you are able to do it for a week and then next week, let's find it. Let's do it another day. So if you kind of put the thing for another day and start procrastinating thing, it never works.
Correct.
We guys are very particular about come what may, hail or rain or strain or whatever it is, we are out on Saturday morning, period.
Okay.
I visit the US or London for my office related works, maybe Europe countries only towards the UK I've visited, US I've visited a couple of places. Wherever I visit, if at all there is actually a flight given to me on a Saturday morning, I don't take it. I push it to the Saturday evening there in the US or in London, wherever I am. I find out a temple well in advance before I go there, make an inquiry, go there on a Saturday morning, make the visit, sit there, meditate, pray, and come back.
Very nice.
Listen, until you have that kind of a dedication towards your passion, I think it never works. Of course, passion comes with a lot of dedication to it.
So, exactly.
And people can, of course, pursue their passion.
Yeah, that's what is the difference, right? Between people who are actually passionate about doing something and just doing it. Yeah, okay. So we had a good question and answer session where we spoke a lot about temples. So let's go on like a fun round, which is a rapid fire round.
Oh, okay.
I will ask you 10 questions. You have to just give an answer, whatever that comes to your mind first. Okay?
Okay.
So shall we start?
Yeah.
Okay. So your favorite temple so far?
Anandeshwara.
What is one mantra that you follow?
Namah Shivaya is the Panchakshari mantra that everybody has to follow. So that is what I also follow.
Okay. One of your favorite devotional songs?
Madar Pirai Kanniyane. So there is a beautiful song in Tamil. I mean, I have started actually listening to some of these Tevaram songs, which actually are sung by Manike Vasigar and others. Mm-hmm. So Madar Pirai Kanniyane is one of the beautiful songs that you can actually hear. And apparently it connects with Tiruvayar and the Ayyarappan temple also. So that way, that is one of my favorites.
Very nice. Okay. Or book that you would recommend to others that they should read?
See, from a very philosophical point of view, I think Shiva Puranam is one book that everybody should read, is what I feel. That really, so irrespective of whether you read the Vedas or Vedantas or whatever it is, mm-hmm. Shiva Puranam, actually knowing the Shiva Puranam by the meaning that it says is more than enough for everybody.
Fantastic. Okay. Who's your biggest inspiration?
From the temple's point of view, if I have to really bring from the passion point of view, Murali Anna is my big time influencer in this, because he does so much of these kind of work. He's actually the guy who's led this Shivamayam group. He's also actually running his own farm where they are actually taking care of cows.
Oh, okay.
He also has formed a trust just to take care of cows, even though they don't milk, they don't kind of, as long as they live peacefully in a place. So he's kind of built that kind of a place. So he's one big inspiration for me at this point of time.
Nice. The most influential person in your life?
Most influential person in my life. Interesting. Whom should I take? I think I would probably say my dad.
Okay.
On every Saturday, I mean, for the first person to actually hit that like button on my Facebook is my dad. So he's somebody who with whom I've shared everything. I mean, I share everything on a daily basis. Even the temples that we visit, though I put the entire history on Facebook and everything, but when I talk to him, he will ask. Though he's read it, he will ask. Mm-hmm. So that he loves listening it from me. And then he says, whatever you are doing, keep one thing in mind, it is not you who is doing it. It is basically driven by him. So never get that ego in saying that I am doing this, I am helping this, I am doing that. All that kind of things, he keeps telling me that, which is absolutely true. And that's why I probably would call my dad as the most influential person in my life.
Very nice. If you were to time travel, what will you be doing? Have you ever thought of this?
I would probably would love to get to the ages of all the Cholas and the Pallavas time, because that is when some of these brilliant temples were actually constructed. And I really would want to stand there and see how did they do this. There is one temple which I am yet to visit, and apparently I've heard a lot about the architecture, called the Avadayar Kovil near Madurai. The kind of architecture that has been done actually as a dedication to those artists. Even today, the temple architecture people, when they sign an agreement to take up a construction of a temple, they would say that we will not be in a position to do the work that has been done in the Avadayar Kovil.
Wow.
This is something that you have to see it to believe. I have seen many images on the internet, but so I would probably want to travel to that period to really see how these things were really done.
That's very interesting what you said about the temple. Many of them who did not visit, I think they will also want to go and see it.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, Audiyar Kovil is something that I also want to visit.
Okay. So what do you think you must be remembered as in this lifetime?
Probably just a humble devotee of Shiva is enough.
Okay, that you already are.
Yeah, that is enough. And that's how people should remember me. That's enough, actually.
Okay.
So, see, we do many good deeds, many things. But it should not probably get up to the ego of the person. So that way, I really don't want to be remembered as somebody who's done huge things. A humble devotee of Shiva is more than enough.
Okay. What is the biggest lesson you have learned so far from your life?
Patience is virtue. So I have, at least my friends say so, that I have immense patience in me. Yes, I do. But not everybody is always perfect. So that way, I think patience is something that I have really learned. So I can probably say that.
Okay, nice. So there's one last question. So before we move into that, what is your message to the listeners?
My message to the listeners is, see, there are so many really deserving people around in the society. I'm not just mentioning temples and temple priests alone. There are so many of them who have been impacted during this pandemic's time. And even animals, if you see, even the stray dogs, you see there's so many of them who are actually don't even have food around. So my message to the listeners is, every day, just do one good thing, even if it means just feeding a bird in your locality or a pigeon in your locality. Just do one good deed every day. And I think it does a lot of immense positive vibe in your life, for sure.
Okay. So this is the last question of this round. If you're given the power for one day to change the world, what is the one thing that you will be doing?
I would probably ensure that all the downtrodden people and those who are really suffering at the brim of poverty and even finding it difficult to have one square meal gets a meal, actually.
Wow.
So that is something, if I can do, I would probably do that.
Yeah, that's very important also. Okay. So it was wonderful playing this round with you. And it was wonderful that you have shared so much of information about temples and your experiences.
No, thanks a lot, Nivedita. I think it's a very good thing that you're doing, and your passion of actually capturing the people with passion and putting it up on the podcast is an interesting thing. So continue pursuing this, and all the best. And thanks a lot for having me on the show.
Thank you so much, Shiv. It's my pleasure to have you on my show. And it was wonderful talking to you. I'm sure the listeners will connect to you more on your social media handles. So thanks a lot again. And thank you so much, guys, for your time and listening to this episode. I'm sure it would have added a lot of value to your life and given you clarity of how to live your passion with a purpose. So if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please do subscribe to my podcast and share it with your family, friends and colleagues, and give it a 5-star rating. And please don't forget to share your comments on what you think about this episode. You can connect to me on Instagram at Power of Passion. I will catch you next week on another inspiring episode of Power of Passion. Until then, stay safe, and most importantly, do what you love. Thank you.